Well, good morning. Welcome, everyone. So good to see all of you here, your smiling faces as you come in and begin with worship and praising the Lord. What a glorious thing to do. Okay, a few announcements as we begin here in your bulletin. If you look, just a couple things to take note of. First of all, just a reminder that there will be a leadership team meeting here January 18th at 6:30. So if you're on that team or new to that team, be sure to put that on your calendars, and looking forward to starting the new year with our new team and getting to work on the program of this year here at the church. So keep that and the leadership team, especially in your prayers as they begin their work here this new year. Also, just a note there, you're seeing the Pulpit Exchange Sunday, January 22nd. With us will be Steve Spire from Sangersville Church. And so I hope that you are able to come and be here for him bringing the morning message. I will be at Sangersville, as it says. We'll kind of just switch pulpits that Sunday. And not only just Sangersville, Moscow, but a lot of the area churches will be exchanging pulpits on that Sunday. So it's kind of exciting and just a neat thing to do. And again, just another way in which the churches continue to work together here in our community of faith. Also, just a reminder about the local mission project, the week of January 29th through February 3rd. The ministerial group will be trying to work together for different projects. I know one project they have in mind is to work on a deck and kind of do some guttering work at Roy Casmore's home on Jennings Gap Road. But there probably may be some other projects as well. I know that's through the week and some of you are working, so it doesn't suit for everyone, but if maybe you're retired or your schedule is flexible and you can help, please let me know. Following the service, I'll be sure to get a hold to Berlin Zirk and as he's kind of heading that up and try to get together just kind of a list of who will be coming and as they continue to organize that work week. So I hope that you can help. Should be a fun week and just doing a lot of good for those in our community. And again, just witnessing our love for Christ through that work. As you noticed, the North River School Supply Drive is beginning again. We are going to collect through the Sundays of January, so we kind of got a little bit behind, but there's still a couple weeks left for you to do that. We'll just bring the items up front, lay them here at the front, and then at the end of the month, we'll just kind of pray a blessing over the items and donations. All the churches are coming together to do this. And buddy, it's a big help for the teachers there. This is kind of the midway point for the year, and so most kids don't have pencils now or are looking for pencils, and you know how it goes. So it's just great to kind of bring in these items and give the kids the supplies they need to finish up their year. So I think there will be an insert. I sent Lee an insert, but we'll have it. Maybe you didn't get it, Lee, but I'll give it to you. Make sure you get it, and we'll get it in there just as a list of things that they kind of are looking for. You can kind of have an idea yourself what they're probably looking for, but it's nice to have a list. So I'll try to get that up on the bulletin as well as we'll get it in the bulletin board or the bulletin here on the bulletin board also. Okay, Lee just again reminded us about sign-up sheets. Certainly, if you want to get your name, birthdays through the year, and your address in the bulletin board, there's sign-up sheets that you can do to make sure that's all taken care of. Also, there's sign-up sheets for being greeter, as well as floral displays here on Sunday. So if you'd like to do any of that, certainly just see the bulletin board and take care of that. Any other announcements you'd like to share at this time? Janet.
I just think Michelle's team needs a thank you. Yeah. They took care of putting out all the Christmas decorations and putting them away and getting things back in order. And that takes time. And I think we need to thank them. And then also that beautiful bulletin board, I understand that Alan is responsible.
Yeah. And as Alan says, God loves you snow much. Now, I don't know if Alan's trying to tell us that we're going to get a lot of snow here. Of course, today they're calling for some sleek nice, so certainly a suiting statement for today. So, Alan, appreciate that. And Michelle and that group, They work so hard in getting all that put away. Certainly, we appreciate their work. It looked so plain when I came in here yesterday. It was all taken away. And it does. It brightens up the holidays to have all that decorations here, and we appreciate their work. Any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious, most Heavenly Father, Lord, we just again thank you, Lord, for this Sunday, being here to worship you, to celebrate you, to honor you, to give our offerings to you, to sing our praise to you, to lift our voices to you. Lord, we're here to do all these things because, Lord, you are God, and there is none other. Lord, there is no other God but you, and you are deserving of all our love and praise and worship. And Lord, that's why we come here today to do these things. Father, we just lift you up here in this service. We pray that you are glorified. And Lord, we pray that you put in our heart a song that extends beyond this sanctuary. But Lord, out into the world, into our home, into our workplace, a song of your goodness and your love, and that all people might hear it. And Lord, that they too might have a song in their heart. And Lord, we just praise you here this morning. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Let us stand together in our call to worship. Thank you, Nancy. That was beautiful. This in the inside of your bulletins coming from portions 2 Timothy. It says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you all. God who has saved us and called us holy calling. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let us share together in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Let's turn to hymnals page 452. When I picked this hymn, I did not realize it went that high, so our suffering is going to begin right now. I tried to sing it a little earlier with Nancy.
I tried too.
And it's very high, so we're going to get your voices reaching all the way up into heaven. So.
And the title is right. Is right. Give me a blessing, please.
Page 452. Let's share together in song. Seated. Thank you, Nancy, for leading us in that very difficult song. Note to self, don't pick that one again. I almost started taking me out to the ball game in the middle of there somewhere. Okay. I want to take just a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests and praises and a few that I'll put on your list as well. First of all, if you would just continue to pray for Janet's niece, Sherry Levins, if you would, continue to lift her up in prayer. Her surgery will be the 20th. Janet reminded me again this morning. And it's very serious surgery. She has cancer, and they're going to be just doing pretty major surgery to hopefully fix that. And so just lift her up in your prayers as well as her family and Janet's family as well. Just pray that this surgery will go good on the 20th, and that will be a success, and that this cancer will be defeated. If you would also put my wife Deborah on your prayer list. Deborah for the last week has been just having migraines. So if you would just put her in on your prayer list, and that this headache would go away. I may be the headache. It's lasted for a week, so I could be the cause of this thing. I don't know. We just praise for Alan that he's with us this morning. He's feeling better, and of course, we appreciate his work on the bulletin. He was back going for that, so glad that you're doing better, Alan, and back with us. Also, put me on your prayer list. I will be having surgery on my hand come 1st February, I believe. I can't quite remember the date right yet, but in February, they're going to be doing an operation. I have some cysts on my knuckles that prevent me from playing music, and so I'm going to try to take care of that. And it's just an outpatient thing, so I'll be able to watch it, which is kind of cool, you know. Won't knock me out, but hopefully they can remove the cysts. And he said it's pretty simple surgery. So, but I appreciate your prayers for that. And as that comes close, also we want to be in prayer for Leon. Leon Linker is leaving this week on Thursday, and he is going back to Honduras. We certainly want to be in prayer for his safety and for the work that he does there. This is, I think, Leon, didn't you say your 10th or 11th trip back to Honduras? And so just you've done a whole lot there, Leon, and we just continue to pray for the good work you're doing, the ministry, Mission of Hope, that he serves with. And so we just continue to pray for all those that will be a part of that and for Leon. Leon, do you want to share anything about that? I kind of caught you off guard there, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, it's something that's close to my heart, you know, to do. I've gotten so much back from that, you know, that I never really anticipated, but it's been a blessing to me.
Yep. Yep.
And it's also an opportunity for me to see the friends and people that have become close to my heart also.
Yep.
So anyway, your prayers are appreciated.
Yeah. Thank you, Leon, for just sharing a little bit about that. And we will. We'll be praying for you. He leaves on the 12th, and we'll come back the 21st. So be in prayer for Leon and that group, that they're safe there. And they're able to accomplish a lot. So thank you, Leon. Are there other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Pauline?
I'd like for you to pray for my sister-in-law, Jane Shiflett. She fell probably 4 weeks ago, and she refused to wear a bracelet. She lived by herself, and she fell in her hallway, and we're not sure how long she lay there. Probably over 5 hours. And she had fell and broke her left hip, I believe, and the bone was coming through her leg. So she's at
Yeah, thank you, Pauline. Absolutely. If you would, just put Jane Shiflett on your prayer list and just be praying for her recovery, her strength to recover from this very serious fall that she's had. Other prayer requests? Lee?
For the little girl, Savannah Miller.
Yes. Right. Yep. Absolutely. Thank you, Lee, for updating us on that. And continue, if you would, to keep Savannah Miller in your prayers. That's connection not only to you, but to Margaret also, and both of you. So just be in prayer for Savannah, if you would. Joanne?
Yeah. Keep in prayer for Carol Jean Harper.
Okay. Okay. Carol Jean Harper. If you would, just be in prayer for her. As Joanne shares, she's kind of in the last stages of cancer, so just be in prayer for her. Lift her up. God will give her comfort and strength in these final days. Yeah. And God's going to heal her in another way, right? An eternal healing. Yeah.
I know. She said, I'm ready to go. And she said,
praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a testimony there. Anyone else?
The Dotson family.
Dotson family.
They
if you.
Had their little baby. They've done multiple surgeries on its heart and it passed away this week.
Okay. Marcia. Okay.
And his father has passed away when he was born yesterday, 7 hours after the car accident.
Oh.
His mom, his name is George. He was a lifetime member of St. Augusta Rescue Squad. He used to be a science teacher at Fairmont Middle School.
Okay.
George Savage. And his wife, Lynette, is over at UVA. She's got bleeding and terminal. So
okay.
George and Lynette.
Yeah. This Savage family. And just be in prayer for them. Very serious accident where George has passed away and wife still trying to recover. And so if you would just lift that Savage family up. Did you say he was a teacher at Beverly Manor?
George used to be a teacher at Beverly Manor. I've been out of school for 20 years.
Okay.
George was a teacher there, science teacher at Beverly Manor.
Okay. Thank you for sharing that, Marcia. Certainly be in prayer for that family, for that loss, and for continued recovery from that accident. So thank you. Others? Kenny.
With my absence last Sunday, I have 20 praises right now, and they're all sitting out here in the congregation. I would like to give them a round of applause for their hard work and their dedication to everything they've done for the last 2 months here for us, and all their activities, their programs, their songs. That's our future. And every minute, every second they put their hearts into it just makes their future even brighter, and it makes ours brighter as well, because we know that they're safe and they're protected. So, kids, love you guys. You're awesome. If y'all would, please praise them and give them a round of applause.
Thank you, Kenny. That's a applause for you, too. We appreciate all your work and all the youth leaders that help in putting the program together. Really appreciate that. Robin and all her work as well. We just very blessed, aren't we, to have all these kids here and all the blessing we receive from them participating and being part of the services. Thank you, Kenny. Anyone else? Yeah.
She said if it wasn't for her daughter, they wouldn't probably, she wouldn't probably come. But said she gets up and she says, today's the day we need to go to Sunday school. Oh. I love to go up there. She said they had visited many churches and that they had not found any that she enjoyed like she enjoys coming here.
Yeah.
And she said every Sunday she gets them up to come.
That's a blessing, isn't it? We're very thankful, aren't we? We just praise the Lord. We continue to seek His guidance and direction and in the ministries here, especially the youth ministry. So praise God. Okay, with that, I'm going to have our ushers to come forward now to collect our tithes and our offerings. Let us stand together in prayer. Would you bow your heads with me? Gracious most heavenly Father, Lord, again, we thank you for all our answered prayers. Lord, as we offer up this prayer list this morning, Lord, with those that are going into surgery, those that are recovering from accidents, Lord, those that are dealing with different sicknesses and illnesses, Lord, we just pray that in all of our prayer requests, Lord, that you hear these prayers. And Lord, that your good will might be done. As Leon travels even to a distant land to share the good news, Lord, we know that you are working through this congregation to share your message of love and hope and salvation. And Lord, I just pray you continue to use each one of us. Lord, open up our lives to make us available to you. Lord, sometimes that's what you just want most of all, just for us to be available, to be present, to have time for you in our life. Father, our lives are so busy, but Lord, we must make time to put you first. We have to make time in our life for you. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to use each one of us in a special way to build your kingdom and to share your message of hope and love and forgiveness. Lord, it's a message that the world needs. It's the answers that the world needs. Lord, you've given them to us to share. And Lord, just I pray that we are faithful in sharing that good news with the world around us. Lord, we just lift up all these prayer requests to you. Father, we praise you for our offering this morning, Lord. We just pray that it's a blessing unto you. Just pray you continue to bless this ministry of Moscow, Lord, as we seek to encourage and teach the children of the good news. Lord, just pray that you continue to help us and direct us in the ministry here. And Lord, again, we thank you for these offerings that, Lord, are given to you and to honor you and praise you. Might you receive them as a blessing into your presence. Father, I just pray too that you continue to bless us the rest of this service. Allow our hearts to just meditate on you and the good things that you have given us and that we have received. Lord, we just praise you now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's church can be dismissed now. Youth Sunday School, thank you to all those that are helping with that. And in your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Isaiah chapter 45, verses 1 and through 6. We're looking at this guy named Cyrus, who was an instrument of God, or God's instrument. It's kind of how I've titled this. And so we're picking up here in verse 1. Going to read down to verse 6. It says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed," of course that's speaking of the children of Israel, right? "To Cyrus as well, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight and break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasure of darkness and hidden riches in secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, for Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name. I have named you, though you have not known me." Verse 5 there. "I am the Lord, and there is none or no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me." Verse 6. "That they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other," is what the Lord says. You know, not many of us have heard of an Old Testament hero named Cyrus here. And that's because Cyrus really isn't, he isn't Jewish for one. He isn't an Old Testament Jewish hero. He is a Persian king. And yet we see that God has called this Persian king to do great things for God, which is kind of remarkable, that we see God using this this Persian king. He wasn't Jewish. In fact, you might say that he was an enemy of God. Sometimes he's referred to as Cyrus the Great. He was the father of the Achaemenid Empire. And he did not worship the God of Israel. He was pagan. He worshiped idols as those other nations around him worshiped idols. He was from a different religion. Listen to this. This is the name of the religion. This is a new one for me. Zoroastrianism. Zoroastrianism is the religion that this pagan king worshipped. And so he did not worship the God of Israel. He did not even recognize the God of Israel. But here we see where God is saying, "I'm going to use Cyrus as an instrument of good, that I'm going to take Cyrus, who is this pagan king, and I'm going to use him in a way that you might see that the true and living God is real." It reminds me of the scripture in the New Testament where it says in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things, that in all things God works for good for those who love Him and have been called according to His purpose. That means really nothing is out of the plans and purpose of God. That God can use all things. He can even use this Persian king, Cyrus, in a powerful way to do His plan and His will upon the earth. Sometimes we look around and we think, how can God be in this? Or how is God working through this? We see all these maybe bad things happening. And God can be working in the midst of all those things. God can work outside the norms of what we would think or expect. This really is out of place in most of our minds, that God would use this Persian idol worshiper, this king of Persia, to do His will. And yet we see that even this is not outside the authority or the realm of God in which He is able to work His works among His people. And so Cyrus is this instrument of God. He is this instrument of good, although he is this pagan idol worshiper. And look what it says there in verses 1. Thus says the Lord to His anointed, to Cyrus even, whose right hand I have held to subdue nations before him, to loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors. The double doors are leading into the city, right? So he's saying that I'm going to work through this Persian king. I'm going to work to conquer nations. I'm going to open the doors that he's going to conquer all the nations around him, and that he's going to do these things through my hand. Cyrus was only able to achieve what God was allowing him to achieve. And God moves the nations, doesn't he? Even today, God continues to move the nations. He puts those in power that needs to be in power, and he humbles those that need to be humbled. And God continues to work among the nations today. We see nations shifting or wars happening. Oftentimes I just know that God is doing something. I don't know what, but God is doing something. His plan is unfolding because God is in authority over kings, and He was in authority over Cyrus. God used Cyrus as an instrument of good, even though he himself was evil. Now, I think that that applies to us as well today. That God, He wants to use us as an instrument of good, doesn't He? He wants to use each one of us to accomplish His plan and His purpose upon the earth. Even as He used Cyrus, so does He desire to use you. God has a plan and a work for you to do. And if God can use this pagan Cyrus in such a way, a powerful way that is recorded in the book of the Bible, how much more can He do through you who is willing and desiring to serve Him? Isn't that wonderful? If God can use Cyrus in such a powerful way, him being pagan, not even a believer of God, if He could use him in such a powerful way, how much more can He use you? Well, we see here that Cyrus was used by God. And we see that God desires to use us as well. That's what the Bible tells us. God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Ephesians 1, 3 through 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing that in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to the adoption as sons of Jesus Christ to Himself, according to His good pleasure and to His will, to the praise and the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted and beloved." And then he would conclude in Ephesians 2:20, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works." You hear that? God has called you even before the foundations of the world, is what the Bible says. That God had called you. He had a purpose and a plan for you to do His work, to be His instrument of good here upon the earth. You know, it's not always immediate to know exactly what God is calling us to. And we have to discern, don't we? We have to take time and pray and say, God, where do you want to use me in your ministry? Where, God, do you have a place and a purpose for me? Because listen, folks, there is a place and purpose for each one of you. The Bible says you've been gifted with spiritual gifts that you're to use right here in the ministry for Christ. You've been gifted. You've been given the tools you need to do the work of Christ. And I truly believe it. There is a place for each person to be engaged in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Listen, God has not called us to be bench warmers. No, God has called us to be engaged in the ministry some way, somehow, someplace. Now, as I said, there takes some discernment of that. It takes some prayer to say, God, where do you want to use me? How can I be of use to you in your ministry? But listen, there is some place. There is some place where God wants to use you in his ministry. He has called you today as his instrument of good in this world. Everyone has a job. Everyone has a place. God has not called us to sit on the sidelines, but we are to be engaged in the battle, in the fight. Listen, there is a real fight happening, isn't it? If you don't think there's a battle happening and waging today between good and evil, you have closed your eyes and think that life doesn't exist or something. There is a battle that's happening between good and evil, and you're seeing it play out each and every day. And God is saying, will you take the battlefield? Will you take the battlefield? Will you be my servant for good? Will you proclaim the good news of Christ Jesus, even when it isn't popular? Will you stand up? Will you stand against the unrighteousness of today? I tell you, I still believe that we find ourselves in this nation, we find ourselves in our communities, in the situation we are in, because the church has cowered for too long. We have not taken the battlefield. We have sidelined ourselves and we have become content that we can be bench warmers, that we can sit inside buildings and be shut off from the world around us and act as if we don't have to do anything but come Sunday and say praise Jesus and go home. Christ wants more than that, doesn't he? We are to be engaged. We are to take the battlefield. We are to fight for good and righteousness each and every day of our life. God has called us to some ministry. That is some way in which we can serve him with our time, with our talent, and with our treasures. Some way. Now, this is what God did for Cyrus here. He calls him as an instrument for good. And even though he didn't even realize he was doing it, God was using him in some way. I think, though, the ways that God uses him is still parallel in the way that God wants to use us today. And so we're going to look at these real quick. I know we're running low on time. But first of all, notice here that God called Cyrus to subdue the enemies of God and to accomplish his will here upon the earth. God's work through Cyrus was to destroy the Babylonians. That was the work of Cyrus. And to advance then God's will upon Israel, and of course upon the earth, to have Israel restored. You know, Israel up to this time had been under the captivity of Babylon. Remember, they came in and the Babylonians took Israel and they took them back captives to Babylon. And you can read that in the book of Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were under the Babylonian Empire. But guess what? The Babylonian Empire did not continue on forever. In fact, Israel was only captive to Babylon for 70 years. Now, they were captive because God said that I'm going to punish you 70 years for your disobedience to me. And after the 70 years, I'm going to loose you and you're going to return back to your homeland. And you're going to gain back all the land that you lost. You're going to restore back to your homes and you're going to rebuild the temple. And they did all these things. But they were 70 years in captivity. And then guess what happened? This guy named Cyrus, the Persian king, he waged war against the Babylonians. And he defeated the Babylonians. This is what you read here in this first couple verses. He says, Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, you're going to subdue nations before you. Who's the nations he's talking about? The nation of Babylon. You're going to loose the armor of kings. Who's the kings he's talking about? The kings of Babylon. He's going to open the doors, the double doors, and the gates will not be shut. I will go before you. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron, and I will give you the treasures of darkness. That is to say that I'm going to give you the ability to conquer Babylon so that you will free my people. And believe it or not, that's exactly what happened. History tells us when Cyrus conquered the Babylonians, that Cyrus, unlike the Babylonians, he allowed the Israelites to return back to their home nation. And not only did they return just by themselves, but he gave them all the treasures, even of the storehouses of Israel. And the golden vessels of the temple did they take back with them. Really an amazing thing here. Kind of unheard of. Usually when you conquer another nation, you take all the goods, right? Take all the gold, take all that back for yourself. But that's not what Cyrus did. The Persians allowed them to return home and even allowed them to take home the royal and golden utensils of the temple. God used Cyrus to subdue the enemies of God. I think that's what he wants to continue to do through us today. You know, Jesus would say this as that you're called to be salt and you're called to be light. Well, what's salt and light do? Well, they overcome the decay, don't they? They push back at the bacteria of the world. And so God has called us today to be His church, to be winning the war on our culture, the war on our family, the war on our constitution, the war on marriage, the war on our school systems. We're supposed to be subduing the enemies of God through Christ. Boy, it feels as if the enemy's winning, though, doesn't it? In all those places. Feels as if Satan has been able to overcome the church and God in these things. But God has called us to subdue the enemy, to have courage, to enter the battlefield and to fight for God. We're just to subdue the enemies of God and Satan through the power of God. And we're to do this with faith and courage. You know, I think back to just a couple years ago when several of you from this church stood right outside a school board meeting where they were debating whether or not boys should be able to shower with girls or use the same bathroom facilities as girls and girls with boys, and we stood outside the flagpole hand in hand, many of you from this church, and we prayed that light would overcome darkness, that salt would hold back that decay of sin, us being salt, that God would give us victory in that situation, not allow our children to have to endure that type of perversion in their school system. And praise God, they stood up and upheld the things that were right. We're to be salt. We're to be light. We're to be subduing the enemies of God with good. Number two, notice there that he also restored the elect of God, really in those that were rebelling against God. Verses 3 and 4. Notice there he talks about Israel, even that they were named by God's own sake. The elect of God really is kind of twofold. There's the elect of God, which is Israel itself, right? They're the elect. Israel has always had a special place in the heart of God. He's called them by His name, and they have a special purpose. Still today, they have a special purpose. Even as you read the book of Revelation, you see that God is still working through to restore the nation of Israel, even to the very end. But it's twofold also, because it's talking about us. We're the elect. Notice, remember, Jesus talked about the stump that was cut, that it was we were grafted into that stump, and that we too are a part of the tree of God, that family tree. And so it's talking about us as well. And that this restoration, this work of restoration and salvation that we're to be doing today. You know, it's our job to be calling those back into the Christian faith. Those that have wandered away and those that have rejected. God has a plan and a purpose for us to restore those that have fallen away. Those that have been taken away in captivity and sin. And that's kind of what happened to Babylon, or to Israel in Babylon. They were taken away, held in captivity. And God used Cyrus to restore them and to bring them back unto God. And so He does want to use us today as well to call back those who have fallen away. You know, how many faces have been in our sanctuary here? How many people do we know that have maybe once were coming, maybe regular? Now we don't see them. Where did they go? What happened? It's our job, isn't it, to reach out to those, encourage them back. Encourage them back to church. If not our church, some church. They're not happy here. I hope they go somewhere. The main thing is that they're active and serving God somewhere. Be praying for those that have wandered away, that have fallen away. Seek reconciliation for all those that have fallen away from God. Number three, real quickly here, it was also, his job was to make known to the nations the true and living God, that they may know Him and receive Him. If you look verses 5 and 6, I am the Lord, there is none other, there is no God beside me, I will gird you, though you have not known me. He's talking about Cyrus. That though you have not even known me, they will know me from the rising of the sun to the setting, that there is none beside me, and that I am the Lord, and there is no other. Through Cyrus, God was proclaiming His own existence, wasn't He? Even though Cyrus didn't even know God, God was saying, through you, I'm going to proclaim that I am the true and living God, that there is no other God but me, is what God says. And God continues to want to proclaim that same message today through each one of you, that there is but one true and living God, that there is none other but the God of Israel. He's the true and living God. And we're supposed to be proclaiming that message to the world around us. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this servant, Cyrus, that gives us hope that, Lord, You've called us today into that great ministry, that You've called us to be a tool in Your hand, to proclaim Your good news, to show the world around us that there is but one true and living God. Lord, You've called us to restore back those that have fallen away, even as Israel is restored. Lord, You've called us to be in the work of reconciliation. Lord, help us to call others back that have wandered astray. Lord, we maybe have a name in our heart, in our mind maybe. Someone that was here that, Lord, is not here now. Use us, I pray, as a tool to reach out to that person and encourage them back. Lord, You want all to come and worship. And we just pray that those people can come back and be restored to Your ministry. And Lord, help us, I pray, the courage we need today to subdue the enemy that is in constant attack upon Your church, Lord, upon all these wonderful things like the family and the school system. Lord, Satan is always attacking these things. Lord, he wants to destroy what is good. But Father, help us to have the courage to push back in today's world. Lord, let us have the faith we need to take the field of battle each and every day. Lord, we pray you bless us in these things as your church. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. Okay, we're going to gather now in our closing hymn, page 371. This one's familiar. 371, Have Thine Own Way. And we'll just sing first and last. Let's stand together and sing. In prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we truly want to be the tools in your hands that, Lord, you can use to have your will unfolded here upon this earth. Lord, we want your will of good upon this earth. We want your peace upon this earth. We want your love to shine upon this earth. And Lord, we know that's accomplished through us, using us to accomplish that mission and to share that message. Help us, I pray. Give us the courage we need to be that message each and every day of our life. Use us, I pray. Open us up to be willing that you can use us for your good. Lord, I just pray that prayer. I pray each person prays that prayer as well. That, Lord, we just are receiving now and open to receiving your will within our life. Help us, I pray, in that way. It's in Christ Jesus' name. We pray these things together. Amen.